Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End podcast extra in association with the Wokingham paper for today, March the 15th. My name is Ollie Allen, your host as ever for today's show. I'm delighted to be joined once again by the Wokingham paper's Tom Crocker. Morning, Tom. How are you?
Morning, Ollie. Not too bad, thank you. Yourself?
I'm as well as a Reading fan can be in our current run of form, Tom.
Yeah, quite just about right. Still waiting for that win to talk about.
I think still one win in 17 in the league now.
Yeah, it's another struggle again and two more disappointing results, I think, this week.
We will get straight into those games. Now we'll start with the Leeds game at the weekend. It was a 2-2 draw, of course, against Leeds United at the Mansstad last Saturday, and we'll touch on it briefly, Tom, to get your thoughts on it. Mark and Sim reviewed it in more detail on the main show earlier in the week, so go back and listen to that if you haven't already. But how do you think this one went for Reading, Tom? Obviously, they appeared to start fairly brightly with John Daly Bodvarsson opening the scoring on 16 minutes, but then two goals from Leeds saw our heads drop a little bit. But then you know Kane's own goal meant Reading took a point. Was it a fair result for you?
It's just, but both managers sort of felt they could have won it, really. I think the first 40 minutes, really, Reading were really good. It's the best I've seen them play, really, at home for a number of months, and they would have been kicking themselves, really, to not be further ahead. Obviously, they got that goal and should have been two or three up, really. Mo Barry missed a great chance. George Evans nearly scored as well. And at that point, you were thinking maybe this is the sort of turning point they've been waiting for. They're playing really well, and yeah, they just give away two sloppy goals, like you say, and suddenly they're behind and they've got to try and find a way back into it. To their credit, they did get straight back in, got it level again, and after that, the game sort of died a little bit, and Leeds were the ones who were pushing towards the end and felt that they could have won the game. So in the end, you have to take the point, but it was it felt a bit disappointing because as positive as that first half performance was, those are the sort of games you've got to be winning, really, and to come away with just a point again and still waiting for that first win and just slowly ticking off the points rather than picking up the three that they really should have done. It was, I think people left the stadium fairly positive again because it was another decent performance. But obviously after the what happened on Tuesday, you look back at it and think there was maybe another opportunity missed on Saturday.
With the form that Leeds winners were, I think we could, it was very much sort of a bit like a derby game. There were moments of sort of promise from Reading, but then ultimately it was defensive at the back that sort of let them slip. And ironically, two of Reading's best players in the game were sort of two of their most underperforming players this season, Pella Clement and Sonny Aluko. Obviously the latter getting the wonderful through ball assist for John Daly Bodvarsson's goal. Certainly it was good to see some promise from those two, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Luca's obviously been struggling, and no one's sort of hiding that fact, but the problem is there is no other options, as we discussed last week. He's got to sort of play every game, and yeah, fair play to him. He looked pretty lively, and obviously he often shows little bits of skill, but it's the end product that you need from him, and he picked out the assist for the first goal and set up Bakuna for the second one as well. So yeah, he played a key role in both goals, and it was one of his better performances. And as for Clement, he's obviously been in the team for a few weeks now, all around the team, really, but playing in midfield, he looked good on the ball and looked dangerous, and I think he got subbed off in the second half, and then the performance sort of dipped after that, which maybe something to look at, because obviously he's been in the starting lineup for a few games now, and he looked pretty good. Yeah, so from those two, it's just promising signs, but like you say, it's at the back where the problems are, really.
Absolutely. Obviously, Clement and Luko both started again then, on Tuesday, but couldn't replicate their good performances. Indeed, no Reading player really impressed at all, as the Roars fell to a 3-0 defeat to the Championship leaders. The goals coming from Matt Doherty, who scored twice, and former Reading loanee Benik Afobe. Now, but obviously, both me and you, Tom, we both predicted defeats for Reading, and I'm sure nearly every Reading fan thought we would probably get beaten at Molineux, but it was the manner of the defeat that was so disappointing. Obviously, we failed to register a single shot on target in the entire game. I think we only managed two shots in total throughout the game as well, which in my view is completely unacceptable. And obviously, some of the defending was absolutely woeful as well, as it has been for the majority of the campaign. And to me, Tom, it almost seemed as if Reading went into the game thinking that they'd already lost it.
Yeah, like you say, it was poor defending yet again. And yeah, like you say, people sort of expected to go up there and maybe not get anything out of it, despite Wolves' recent form. It's always going to be a difficult game. You just want to hope they show a little bit of a fight to try and take something into the weekend. And yeah, the first goal, as I say, until sort of 40 minutes, they managed to keep them out. I think Yacola made a decent save early on, and they held them out. It looked like they were going to get to half-time, but again, they conceded just before half-time, which has been a problem in recent weeks. It was a yeah, I don't know where Yokolo was going, chasing after a cross and then just left Doherty free in the middle to head it in. And second goal as well, I think keeper's got to take some thought. I don't think he should ever have been coming for that ball, really. But as soon as he made the decision to run out for it, Tyler Blackett stops, and then it's just a mix-up, and they work it well and finish it well for Iwobi. But yeah, I think it might be time to have a look at the goalkeeper issue again. I don't think Yokolo's done much to convince that he should be taking the number one spot, really. I don't think Maloney was as bad, really, when he was playing. So he seems to instill a bit of a bit of worry amongst the back line when he's playing, unfortunately, in the last couple of games. And he's had a few nervy moments, obviously, at Leeds. Nearly gave away that goal right at the end as well. And yeah, the third goal was a nice move and finish, but I think the game was pretty much done by then. Like you say, Reading weren't showing anything going forwards, and it was just a heavy defeat, and one that sort of left Stam again frustrated that his side haven't really shown anything going forwards. And yeah, poor defensive errors, and combine those two and you're in a lot of problems, and Reading are still very much looking over their shoulders, I think.
How do you think Yap Stam views the goalkeeper situation then, Tom? Obviously, we mentioned there, Anthony Yokolo's like the last three games against Bolton, Leeds and Wolves, and did make a couple of errors at Molineux. Obviously flapped at the ball for the first goal and was caught in no man's land for that one, and then hesitated about coming out for the second goal. And obviously, as we mentioned as well, he sort of nearly gave the ball away that nearly led to a goal at least at the weekend. Do you think possibly it is time to get Maloney back in between the sticks?
I think there's every chance of that, yeah. I think he just looked across his whole team, obviously, for that Bolton game, made wholesale changes and decided that goalkeeper was one that he wanted to change as well. He wanted to give Yokolo a bit of a chance, which I suppose is fair enough. Obviously, Maloney has made a few errors, but I think it would have been a bit harsh to just put Yokolo in and drop him straight out again. You have to give him a little bit of a run. He's given him three games, and I think he's looked a bit nervy on the ball and just in general play as well. He's made a few good saves, in fairness to him, towards the end of that Wolves game, but obviously the game was sort of dead already by then, and he made a couple of decent saves against Leeds, but I think Maloney he's just a bit more experienced at this level, and I think the defence just sort of, they have a better understanding really with Maloney in goal. So if not for this weekend, obviously there's a bit of a break after this game, so maybe they'll look at it then. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Maloney came back in on Saturday.
Well, the defending in general was pretty horrendous, and this has sort of become more and more of an issue in recent weeks. And obviously, Wolves are top of the league, and obviously they are the top scorers in the league as well, but they could and probably should have had more than three goals. Yokolo actually made a couple of smart stops as well. And we spoke a couple of weeks ago, Tom, about how this wasn't actually so much of an issue at the start of the season, but sort of since December time, the backline seems to have sort of forgotten how to defend completely, and we've kept just one clean sheet in the last 18 league games. And what is the problem here, Tom? Because a team managed by one of the greatest centre-backs of his generation should be some sort of master at coaching defending, but is it a confidence issue? Is it the relationship between the defenders isn't too great? Is it due to the injuries, sort of likes of McShane, Tommy Elphick and Omar Richards have been injured recently? Do you think it's time to perhaps give Tom Holmes another chance?
Possibly. I say Yap sort of suggested he would have been, and he's left him on the bench for the last couple, so I'm not too sure if that'll be on the cards, really. But yeah, I think in terms of him being obviously one of the greatest defenders, when he came in, he said straight away he was an attacking coach, and I think he's more of the Dutch philosophy of attacking football rather than looking at his own defending. But yeah, it is a valid point, and the main problem with the defence in recent months has just been individual errors, which I'm not sure you can put entirely down to coaching, really. He doesn't tell them to give the ball away all the time, and obviously it does come back to the manager essentially, because he's brought these players in. But yeah, it's just poor errors on the ball from a lot of them, and letting their men go and things like that, really. So it's that's been the problem in recent weeks. Like you say, the injuries as well. You'd love to have McShane or Elphick in there just for a bit of experience. And I think as soon as they're fit again, they'll come back into the side, which will hopefully steady things up a little bit. So yeah, I think it's been a bit of a combination of a lot of them, really. He's tried all his defenders, he's given them all a chance, and none of them seem to be able to put it together. And so in this situation, you really want a settled back line. I think that's how you set up victories, and with clean sheets, and duty with the same back four. And I can't remember the last time they sort of named the same back five consecutive games. Now it's been quite a while. He keeps chopping and changing, and it doesn't seem to be helping, really. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's mainly just individual errors that are costing them. And yeah, well, when they're giving away two or three goals a game, it's very hard for them to win any games. And I think that's the main reason why it's gone so long now without picking up a win.
The result means Reading have, of course, finally moved from 18th position. We've been speaking for ages about how they constantly seem to be in 18th, but they have unfortunately gone down rather than up. They now sit in 19th on 36 points. Then that is still a 6-point gap from the relegation zone, which sort of baffles me considering how bad we've been. It's one win in 17 games if you're still keeping track. And I'm amazed we're not close to the bottom three, but I suppose that's probably more of an indicator of how terrible Burton, Birmingham, Sunderland have been this season.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, there's a lot of draws at the moment. All the teams around Reading are drawing with each other, and yeah, I think this time last week Reading were 5 points clear, and now they're 6 points clear, so you can look at that as a positive maybe. But I think obviously the fixture list is a bit daunting for Reading as well, with a lot of difficult away games, and they've got to get away from this bottom three as quickly as they can, really. And yeah, they like say they've dropped a place. I think Hull have won a couple of games and pulled themselves out of it. And I think in terms of Hull, I think they had sort of a similar sort of run, one win in 17. Now they've won back to back, so it can be done. But yeah, like you say, I think the main reason at the moment they're out of there is down to the failings of others, really, rather than anything Reading are doing. Because they say that they're not picking up any wins and just slowly picking up draws every now and again. It's just not really. Not really helping them pull much clear, and they're just sort of in the mercy of the others really at the moment.
A bit more positive news them, and as has been the case in most recent weeks recently, there's not an awful lot of Reading related news to talk about, but this week did see the release of Reading's financial report for the last year revealed by Companies House, and we won't go massively into detail with this, so it's not too complicated, but the key thing to take away from it is that Reading's debt increased from just under £70 million to now around £54 million, which we also made a £4.5 million profit from the 2016-17 season. The decrease in debt has been helped by an increase in turnover and media revenue, whilst player salaries have also decreased. And certainly, Tom, in a truly rotten season, this is a superb piece of good news from the club and sort of shows that they are at least heading in the right direction financially under the new owners.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, obviously, had they won the penalty shootout, it would have changed it massively and been the Premier League. But yeah, you look at it, they came in to try and steady the ship and try and reduce these debts. And there's a lot of questions around sort of January time as whether there's any money to bring anyone in. And at the end of the day, it's a business. They've got to try and reduce the debts and keep the money flowing. And yeah, like you say, it's great news that that has come down, and saying it in an otherwise rotten season, as you put it, it's some sort of positive news that they are at least off the field. Things are moving in the right direction, and a massive part of that is staying in this league now. That's where the focus has got to be. If they go down, then that will change it massively, I think. And it'll be, as we said before, it'll be a massive problem for this club, I think, if they were to drop down, because I'm not sure the owners would be too keen to stick around for that sort of eventuality. They want to be in the Premier League, not two leagues away from it. So yeah, it's a big few months on the pitch, but that will then translate to off the pitch and these sort of numbers. And I think, yeah, these next few months will play a massive part into what those figures obviously look like this time next year. But yeah, it's positive news, and we'll take any sort of positive news we can get at the moment, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. And we should have a full analysis of the financial report on a Tyler's 10. So keep an eye out for that. We will move on then now to the trip to Carrow Road this weekend, of course, the place where Reading lost 7-1 last season. And we won't talk about that much because that's the last thing we need right now. Although it probably would see the end of the ups down, 7-1 defeat. So Norwich currently sit 14th in the Championship table on 48 points. So very, very much a middle of the road team. They're not going up, they're not going down. And they haven't actually won any of their last seven games. But all the teams we played recently, Tom, haven't seemed to be in great form, and that hasn't made an ounce of difference.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It seems every week we're saying it's a good time to play these teams and still can't get the wins. But it is something to look at positively. I think the last four games they've played teams below them or in and around running in the table, and they haven't won any of them. I think they've drawn them all. So that's something to look at. But yeah, they're still in better form than Reading are. So they'll certainly look at it and see it as a chance to get those points. And yeah, obviously they're the middle of the road, so you're never entirely sure what you're going to get from them, but you think that maybe in front of their home fans they'll play with a bit more freedom, knowing that there's not too much to play for and they're playing for places essentially. So yes, it's one that Reading should be going there thinking they can get something from, though, just purely based on the fact Norwich aren't winning any games either. I think it was similar with Leeds last week and they ended up in a draw. And yeah, Reading just need to get that win. And I think if you look at I think they've still got three of the top four to play away from home, so this is one of the away games you look at and think that they should be getting something from. But Norwich has still got some good players. You say they've still got some of those Premier League players from a couple of years ago, I think, and they've also got the new manager in who's obviously did well for them in the Cups and what have you, and seems to be building something there slowly. But yeah, they're desperate for a win, similarly to Reading, so it won't be straightforward. No games are straightforward for Reading at the moment, but it's one that maybe if you look at the Norwich's form, maybe this could be the week that they turn it around. But we'll have to wait and see.
Obviously, the meeting between the two sides early in the season was a 2-1 defeat for Reading live on Sky. One of Norwich's goal scorers that afternoon was James Maddison, who I think is an excellent young talent. He's 21 years old and he's got 12 goals and six assists already this season, has been linked with a move to the Premier League, and I hardly think he'll be a Norwich player next season, Tom, but right now he's certainly probably one of the biggest threats, isn't he, along the likes of Josh Murphy and Nelson Oliveira, who of course was linked with Reading in the summer.
Yeah, so they've got some good young players in there, and obviously they're not going to go up now, so people will start taking a look at them. I'm trying to remember that goal from the previous game, actually. I remember the Cameron Jones header for the winning goal. Obviously he's not there anymore, but yeah, as I say, they've got some good players in there, and if they turn up on the day, I think they drew with Wolves a couple of weeks ago, and they say they haven't been losing many games recently, so they've been just picking up a lot of draws. They had that crazy game of Hull, I think 4-3 they lost as well, so they certainly got goals in them, but they're vulnerable at the back a little bit at times as well, which you got to hope. I think that's Reading's best way forward at the moment, is to try and outscore teams. So I don't think they've really got a great defence to try and build something on. Obviously, like I say, there'll be a lot of memories back to that 7-1, and they've got to try and put things right a little bit from that. But yeah, Norwich have got some good young players, and they've got plenty of goals in them, and it's got the potential to be quite an exciting one, I think.
As for Reading then, things aren't looking great on the injury front. We saw Chris Martin and Liam Kelly both missed a trip to Wolves. What was the problem with them? And are we expecting to see them back this weekend?
I think it was an ankle injury for Liam Kelly. I don't think there's a sort of a diagnosis just yet on how bad that is. Chris Martin was ill on the weekend, pulled out on the morning of the game against Leeds, and then was subsequently out again on Tuesday. So you'd imagine he'll be working back to fitness for this weekend if he can get back in the side. Obviously, Kermigant was back on the bench on Tuesday as well. But there's a lot of guys still missing, and John Swift will probably come back in this weekend. I think Yap said he just can't play midweek games at the moment, which is obviously a worry, but they're still not willing to risk him for the midweek games, even though he's only playing sort of 20 minutes as a sub at the weekends. But yeah, so he'll probably come back into at least the squad on Saturday. Also, they got a bit of a break after this one, so you'll see him start the game, or at least play a bit of a bigger role. But in terms of the rest of them, yeah, there's still a few long-term guys. I think obviously McShane, Elphick's still out, but should hopefully be back after the break. And yeah, as part of that, it's going to be a sort of similar squad to Tuesday. There's a lot of youngsters on the bench as well, so maybe a couple of them will get a bit of a chance at some point. But it's the injuries have been a problem all season, and it still seems to be a problem now as well.
I was going to mention, actually, obviously we saw Tom Holmes, Sam Smith, Andy Ridamota and Daniel Loader all included in the match squad at Molineux, which is great to see. For young lads coming through the academy and making the squad, do you think we can see them involved again at the weekend?
Yeah, like I say, I think you'd imagine John Swift will come back, and probably Chris Martin, so that will maybe drop a couple of them out. You'd probably say Rinomota and Loader, you'd imagine. But yeah, I think Smith came on the other night. Obviously, Tom Holmes has played recently, and essentially the guys in the first team aren't really performing at the moment. So if you can give a youngster a chance, he did it against Bolton, so he may well try it again at some point. Obviously, unless the other ones step up and get the goals or play well, then there are spaces in that team up for grabs, absolutely. But in terms of this weekend, I think he's more likely to probably bring back in Swift and Martin rather than chucking a couple of the youngsters, you'd imagine.
Having talked about Norwich's threat a minute ago, obviously, actually only four teams have scored fewer goals than them in the Championship this season, but with Reading short in defence, I'm not sure that's really that relevant. But for the prediction league then, how do you see this one going, Tom?
I'm probably going to have to go for another defeat, sadly. I think I'm also a bit annoyed that when we did the Wolves preview a couple of weeks ago, I said 3-0 and then changed it to 3-1 before this game. So I need to make up some points. I think I'm going to go for 3-1 again. Like I say, I think it's just the problems at the back are a big issue for Reading. So I can see Norwich getting at them, and I think Reading will probably score. But yeah, I'll have to go for a 3-1 Norwich win, and hope some of the results around Reading go their way again.
To go for a defeat, I'm going to go for 2-1, so a little bit closer. But I just think I think that defeat will certainly put on the minds. The defeat last season, will certainly put on the minds of the likes of Chris Gunter and Liam Moore on defence, and confidence is low anyway at the moment. So, but yeah, as we have mentioned, they're not on the greatest form, but neither were Leeds, and we can only draw with them. But we will have to wait and see how it goes. As we come towards the end of the show, then Tom, what can we expect to see on the working and paper in the coming days?
Yeah, like I say, it's pretty quiet on the Reading front, but there'll be a preview for the Norwich game up probably tomorrow, and then it's, like I say, a bit of a break, which, unless something happens with the manager, you'd imagine it'll be a pretty quiet one again. So, yeah, that's all eyes on Saturday, and that'll be up on workingandpaper.com, and I'll put it up on Twitter as well, at Tom J. Crocker.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you much once again for your company this week.
Thanks, Ollie. Cheers.
No worries at all. And, of course, stay tuned to the Tireless and over the next few days as well. We, too, will have full pre- and post-match coverage of the trip to Carrow Road. whilst that aforementioned analysis of the financial report should also be a good read as well. As mentioned, after Saturday's game, there is the international break, which means no game for Reading the following weekend, and as a result, no podcast extra next Thursday. That means we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to preview the clash with QPR on Good Friday, but there should be a main show early next week to look back on the game with Norwich. Mark, I'm not sure who will be joining, but Mark and someone else, probably out on Sunday or Monday. Until then, though, thank you very much for listening to today's show, and come on, you Ars.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.